This is probably part one. Maybe there will be a part two or three. We'll see what happens next week with the teens. And so we'll just be flexible, right? Right. So we have a quiz for you today. So remember, I keep asking, do you read your Bibles? And your answer is? Do you listen to my teachings? I'll go over here, the quiet side. Do you listen to my, you do? Well, let's see. Quiz. All right. Quiz number one. Okay, here's the quiz. First question, John the Baptist, this is true or false? So you have 50%, okay? John the Baptist started the Baptist church, true or false? Okay. What bothers me about that is we had a mixture of answers. Okay. Let's try an easier one. This should be easy. John the Baptist was the first pastor of First Baptist Church, Jerusalem. Yeah, that's exactly right. The Tarzan suit would not have worked. Okay, it would not have worked. All right. John the Baptist was a priest. Think about it. John the Baptist was an Essene. Ha, now you got to go to my Acts class, don't you, to get that kind of stuff, and the Luke class. Well, I might answer that question in a couple of weeks. We'll see. And thank you, Charlene, for that wonderful sign-up sheet for Tevila, whatever that is. You can sign up. And there's a person here in the water. Perfect time of the year, right? I like it. Tevila, what are we talking about? Well, you know, we have God's appointed times in Leviticus. And Barney Kaplan wrote that great book. Then he wrote the other one, God's Appointed Customs, which has to do with how do the traditions and customs fit into the scriptures. I came up with this one, God's appointed practices. What is that? Well, there's lots of stuff that we sometimes assume you know and haven't taught since the orientation class. Tevila, what is that? What is it? Okay, the word Baptist, John the Baptist, okay? And he was not the first Baptist either, by the way, okay? He wasn't even a Baptist at all. Baptism, immersion, mikvah, tevila. What is all that stuff? What is it? Okay, here's where we're going with this. If we can't, we won't finish everything today, but we'll in the next 3 weeks. What is it? By the way, the important part of this isn't so much that you, what do people ask you? You attend a Messianic congregation. What is this? You need to know. You have to have an answer. What is it? How is it done? And, of course, you want to do it the right way, don't you? Okay. That's good. We want to do it the right way. Why is it done? Where is it done? Unfortunately, the temperature of the water isn't always a factor, is it? Okay. When is it done? And should you do it? And if you should, how many times? Don't say 70 times 7. That was the giving teaching. Okay. The giving teaching. Okay, let's talk about the definition of the terms first. Mikvah. Mikvah. See, we're talking about being baptized. That's not what that word means. Mikvah, the definition, is the collection, the gathering. It's the pool, the water. The water. The place of the immersion. That's the mikvah. Okay, tevila is the Hebrew word that means to completely immerse. The Hebrew word, now listen carefully, it means to completely immerse. So that means it's okay to sprinkle people, right? Or to pour. The word is clear, to completely immerse. It's being taped, right? Lord help me. When Doris was with us in Israel, she wanted to be immersed. Oh, by the way, before I get to that last story of my life, how do I get out of here? The word baptized is the Greek word for tevila. Okay, same thing. To completely immerse. So it's the same. So Doris came out of great, wonderful prayer time. You know, the Lord had spoken to her, done dramatic spiritual changes in her life. She shared her testimony. I mean, she's changed like you wouldn't believe. So as you'll see when I give all the instructions on, quote, the right way to do all this, you have to, what does the word mean, tevila? To partially immerse. Oh, completely immerse. Okay, let me ask you this. If you were me, what would you do? We might have these quizzes more often. If you were me, what would you do? And then, like I sometimes say, and I won't name names, but you'll figure it out. I know who that is. All right, so we completely immersed Doris. And that, by the way, I have to be truthful because this is all on video somewhere. People are zooming on you and, okay. And she went under the water, and as she came up, we realized that about that much of her head didn't go under. So we go, okay, let's do it again. You might want to buy this. Fundraiser, we can sell this video. So we completely immersed her again in that same part of her head. That much did not go under. So we do it again. The third time, completely immersed her, and that part of her head did not go under. The third time. Now, you remember the baptism of Yeshua, which we're going to talk about in a couple of weeks, right? What happened at his immersion? The heavens rolled back. What happened? The dove came down. There was a voice. Now, the voice spoke. Well, it was, I can swear I'm hearing a voice at this point. And the voice said, she's wearing a wig. She has been completely immersed. Leave her alone. I realized that she had gone under, but that little part of her wig didn't. You're done, Norris. Anyway, we had a hug and a great time. And you can never, okay, anyway. It's okay with her if I tell a story. She's told it a bunch of times. But people, in situations like that, it's truly my honor to be involved and be a witness when we see the change in people's lives. And you, a lot of you are responsible for the changes in her life. And you know, forget the age thing. I mean, she's just starting, okay, with a lot of stuff. That's cool. Anyway, this term, tefillah, immersed, baptized, also portrays a picture. In Hebrew, it has pictures. Pictures. Picture and concept of the word identification, to identify. Identification with what? Well, with a movement. Now think in terms of 2,000 years ago and of today. How does this fit? Identification with a movement, with a person, with an ideal, with a theology, with a rabbi. Example, if a Sadducee became a Pharisee, now they're still Jews, right? He would be immersed. Okay, because he's changing who he identifies with. Start putting this together, it's a big picture. It's, okay, all of these have to do with a change in status, except one little area of the ritual cleansing. You go into the mikveh, which is the water, you are immersed because of a change in status. A change in status, it was always in public. It's a public declaration of identifying with, going back 2,000 years ago, the God of Israel, the people of Israel, the instructions of Israel. So when their faith comes to life, that's a good reason. So tefillah, it's a part of our history, our heritage. Is it a God-appointed practice? You bet it is. In Yeshua's time, ritual immersion had been around for a long, long time, centuries actually. Water, the only liquid you're allowed to bring in the room here, right? As a reminder, water has always been a symbol of cleansing in the scriptures. But the water doesn't do the cleansing. It only cleanses what's on the outside. We're talking about stuff on the inside. Ritual immersion, which is what tefillah is, baptism is, symbolizes, and this is the important part, the intention of the heart. It's an outward expression of what's going on in your heart. To be clean before God. On the inside, to have a pure heart. Ritual purity. All those things we have in Leviticus go back to the heart. It's in my heart to be pure before the Lord. That's why all the pictures. It symbolizes how God has cleansed us. If I baptize you, I'm not cleansing you. We'll get to that one later. All right? But it's a picture of how God has cleansed you. It's about Him. The focus is on Him, not on me or on you. It's on Him. Now, there's a lengthy, very lengthy section in the Talmud about ritual immersion. I say that because when I first came to faith in Yeshua, it was, in fact, in a Baptist church, all right? In our orientation class, I heard this, that baptism started with John the Baptist. And that's a Christian thing. I didn't know any better. It had been around for hundreds of years. It's a very, very Jewish thing. Keep that in mind. And so the Talmud has all these pictures and instructions. It's been around a long time. The Jewish people of Yeshua's time were very familiar with the appointed practices. Okay, the practices. And they varied. The Sadducees, the Pharisees, and so on, but they didn't question each other's Judaism. They just said, well, I do it different than you. We can learn some lessons from them. But they knew and understood the reasons for immersion. Most of the reasons for entering the mikveh, which is, the mikveh is the water, the pool, have to do with a change in status. And some of these reasons are appropriate today. How about you? How does this work? Okay, such as, following repentance. John's immersion was one of repentance. He announced it, and we'll talk about him in a couple of weeks and what was going on. But it's following repentance. When you are immersed, that doesn't bring about the repentance. You are immersed because you have repented. You got to get this in the right order. A spiritual turning or return, the prodigal son. Shabbat Shuvah, the term Teshuvah, returning. renouncing your past. Literally renouncing your past. Your intention to make a fresh start. It's a public expression. I need a fresh start. And you have witnesses that hold you accountable. A fresh start. Tevilah. If you have strayed away from the Lord and have not followed his instructions and want to return, that's appropriate to go into the waters. You have returned. That doesn't bring you back. You already are back. You were expressing to everyone, I went away, I am now back. It symbolically separates the future from the past. And it prepares us for the future with a clean slate. Sounds like the high holy days, doesn't it? Absolutely. It's exactly right. Okay, the next time that's appropriate is following a great spiritual awakening. A great spiritual awakening, like in coming to faith in Yeshua, would be one. A change in perspective. A change in your direction of your life. They would be immersed, a rabbi, at ordination. Change the status, right there. How about your wedding? Change the status. They would go into the mikveh before the wedding ceremony. Bar bat mitzvah. It came a little later, but they would. A change in status. We're recognizing a change in status of a bar mitzvah. At the fall holidays, for sure, but at all holidays is okay. Okay, in Yeshua's time, 2,000 years ago, it was expected that all Jewish people were immersed for Yom Kippur, before Yom Kippur. It was expected, because it was expected you repented, and you're outwardly showing that you have. So, it gets more fun. You would be immersed upon coming to Jerusalem. Now, why does the Bible say you go up to Jerusalem? Why is it? Is it a physical ascent? Yeah, it is. Is it a spiritual ascent? Yes, it is. So before you would go up to Jerusalem, you would be immersed in anticipation of declaring before God that as I enter the holy city, I want to be clean and pure before you. Now, remember at the beginning of the service, when only five of you were here, there was more. In the book of John, I read about where he was immersing, John the Baptist, where he's baptizing. And where did I say? I read that. In Bethabara. Bethabara. Okay, break down the words. They haven't spelled right. Beth is what? Okay, like Beit, house. Erava. Beit Erava. Literally, it was the house in the prairie. Is the actual term. Where was that? And why was he immersing there? And why would people go there to be immersed? Well, the Jordan River flows from Mount Hermon in the north all the way to the Dead Sea in the south and goes through the Sea of Galilee, water in, water out. But the Dead Sea, see, all this is, these are pictures, the intention of the heart. The Dead Sea is the lowest point on the surface of the earth. Can't go any lower. And by the way, that water is bad. If you drink it, you'll die. Well, he was immersing where the Jordan River enters the Dead Sea. Living water, dead water. Same water. Living water, dead water. Why was he immersing there at the lowest point? Because that's where you began your ascent. The next step is up. The next one is up. You go up to Jerusalem. So people would go symbolically to the lowest point and say, you know what, that's where I am. I'm at my lowest point. It's up from here, and I'm going to the temple to worship and to follow your instructions. And I want to be clean before you when I come. And that was the outward expression of that heart's intent. Great place for John to do this, isn't it? And people come because they were ready. They wanted it to be right. They wanted to be right. By the way, on our trips to Israel, when do we have our immersion? Did you guys figure that one out on the trip? We have our immersion the day before we go up to Jerusalem. Same thing, same concept. See? And we want to be prepared for what he has for us in that city, the city of destiny. City of destiny. You also go into the mikveh again in Jerusalem once you got there before you made your ascent to the temple because it was one more up. And as we go up those southern steps and we sit there and have a Bible study, what is all around us? All the mikveh, where they would be immersed because that's where they would go in and then up the steps that we're sitting on, including Yeshua, to enter the presence of the Lord to worship. Psalm 100 talks about the entry to the Temple Mount right there. And, you know, within Judaism, there's a picture of degrees of holiness. To, like Americans and Christians, there's not a right connection. It's not that it's better or anything else. No, it's degrees of separation. And a picture in Israel would be this. The land of Israel is different from all other lands. It's holy. The Holy Land, because it's different from all other lands. One thing that's more holy than the land is the city of Jerusalem, because it's different from all other cities in the land. And then the final location was the Temple Mount, was more holy, because here you have all of the forms of worship that come together in one place. And so it wasn't that it's a better place, it's degrees of separation. But when you would make those steps in the degrees of separation, you would be immersed as an outward expression of what God is doing inside of you. Think about that back in those days. It was a spiritual experience. I mean, it wasn't just go to the holiday. No, it's all this other stuff you dealt with personally in your life. Another reason, priests, before beginning their duties. All right. Next, scribes would be immersed before writing Torah scrolls. At the beginning of their day, they would be immersed every single day. And before they would write God's name, when they came to his name, they stopped, they would be immersed and come back and do it again. And when we were in Qumran, there's one verse, I don't have it handy, but like God's name appears like six times. Think about it. Excuse me, right back. But you know, it's mindful of his name is so significant, okay, that I want to be clean before you as I write this from a pure heart. And scribes were amazing. They kept the scriptures for us intact. We have the laws of impurity. In Leviticus, I have a bunch of stuff written down. There's lots of verses. But the laws of impurity to move from something impure to pure, unclean to clean. We have all those listings. It's not bad to good. It has to do with ritual cleansing. A woman's monthly cycle. At the end of the cycle, she would go into the mikveh. It's symbolic. Okay? Following the healing of leprosy. Now think about that one. And the opening pages of the Gospels, one of Yeshua's first miracles is he heals a man of leprosy. What does he say to him? You know, since I'm the Messiah and I have fulfilled Torah, you don't have to do it anymore. No, he didn't say that. He said, do what the law of Moses commands. And he has to go to Jerusalem, go into all the immersions along the way, then go to the priest and be inspected, and then be immersed once more. If you were healed of leprosy, upon being declared you are clean, you were immersed again. Now, about that time, what do you think the priests are going to ask him? How did you get healed? a man named Yeshua. And that's exactly what you see in the Gospels. Right after that, the entourage from the temple was there taking notes. Okay, who are you? And so on. That got their attention. It didn't happen every day. It got their attention. And remember that leprosy is symbolic of sin. So the symbolism was being cleansed of sin. And it took place after the healing. It didn't bring the healing. It was a picture of what God had done, spiritual cleansing. And the final thing was that if you were a Gentile converting to Judaism, the final act of the conversion process was going into the mikveh. Up until that point, you could say, no thanks, I don't want this anymore. But that was the very last thing, because you are now identifying with the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the people of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the land of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and the instructions. And you say, that's me. I'm in. I'm doing it. You know, some of you are thinking, well, I'm not Jewish, and does that mean I should convert? Hang on for 2 weeks. We're going to talk about that. Okay? The answer is no. And we'll read Acts 15. We'll talk about it. We'll talk about it. Okay, a summary of these thoughts. It's symbolic. The Bible is full of drama. The Seder's a drama. I love it. And it's in public. Everybody sees you. Okay, it's an expression of your heart's desire to be pure. What is wrong with that? You just better be honest, that's all. Don't just do it. It has to be honesty. I declare, you know, when we do it as a congregation, people give a testimony. Maybe that's fine, but they say, this is my heart. I blew it. The last 5 years have been terrible in my life. I'm not doing that stuff anymore. I'm not hanging out with those people anymore. I'm changing, and I want you all to be witnesses to this. You'll get a chance to say that if you get on that list, okay? The water symbolizes spiritual cleansing. It doesn't cleanse you. But it's a reminder of our need, that we need to be cleansed by Him. And the term newness of life, it brings newness of life. That's a Hebraic term that Paul uses. And he connects it also to immersion, newness of life. What does that mean? A fresh start. That's all it means. You get a fresh start. He's saying, with Yeshua, you get a fresh start. You know, that's a good reason to believe in Him. You're cleansed, you get a fresh start. Yeah, but you don't know how bad, it doesn't matter how bad you were, you get a fresh start. It symbolizes what God, the cleansing God has already done. That's important. That doesn't cleanse you. People get that mixed up. I'm going to go get immersed because I need to be cleansed. No, you're cleansed first through prayer. It's a picture, and it's in public. It's a dramatic illustration of what God is doing, what He can do, and His instructions. And again, the focus is on Him. The water doesn't cleanse. It expresses the intention of the heart. Now, here's some musts. It must be absolutely voluntary. In other words, we don't say, okay, you know, the following people in our congregation, we notice have not signed up for it. No. We want you to do this the right way, okay, for lack of a better term. Absolutely voluntary. It's, in fact, in Judaism, it's invalid if it's forced. Look at church history, the forced baptisms. Just think of a perversion that was done in history past, in the Middle Ages. They forced Jews to a Jewish thing with a warped meaning. It was horrible. That's why in Yom Kippur, we have the release of vows taken against your will. People were forced. It's absolutely voluntary. Okay, say that, parents, because, you know, we get to the river, it's warm, and you're pushing your kids out there. Okay, come on, you say, he understands, oh yeah, he's fine. No, don't do that. We want that little one to say, excuse me, I want to be immersed. I want to be. Hang on to that thought, we'll get to the kids in about a minute. John the Baptist. Well, that term is important. He's the baptizer. What does that mean? He's the observer. He doesn't do it. He observes you doing it. Because he's the witness. You go into the water and you immerse yourself. That's how it works. Because you can never say, they pushed me under. No. And nowadays, we have video. Ask Doris, okay? No, I was keeping her from drowning, is what I was doing, okay? I was a smashing success. But you go into the water We are witnesses. You immerse yourself. We're there to catch you if you slip or something, okay? We're the observers. Okay, what age? What age? And let's see, the age of a cowboy, 8, 12. Bar mitzvah, 6. No. When it comes to a mikvah, you have to be mature enough to understand and articulate the reason you're doing it. Because I'm going to ask your kid. It's embarrassing. They go, "Mom, my mommy sent me out here." Seriously, I'm going to ask him. I ask him. What amazes me is how some of the young ones can articulate theology perfect. And I go, "Where'd you learn that? That was great. It came from right here." Because they get it. They understand it. They understand it. And they want to do it because they do understand it. I need to do this. We've had some real surprises from parents where they say, "Oh, no, they're not ready." And they were too. They were there repenting as we were worshiping, confessing their sin. God was speaking to them. Remember little Samuel? Called to be a prophet as a little kid. If they get it, let them do it. But they need to understand, okay? That's the age. Okay, where is it done? The right place, right? We have to go to the right place. Well, the right place, no. It has to be the Jordan River in Israel, and we all need to go there to do it right. The coldest I've ever been in my entire life was in February in the Jordan River. Seriously, we have pictures of me. I am blue. Our prayers got short. Really short. Okay, where? It has to be living water. I heard some of that. Water must be from a natural source and be living water. Oh, we've heard that term in the Bible, living water. We sing about it. That means flowing. Flowing water, water in, water out. Water in, water out. It has to have a plug at both ends, okay? Some examples, rivers, flowing water, lakes, if you have water in, water out. The Sea of Galilee is a mikveh. It is. It's a great big wide spot in the Jordan River. Water in, water out. Perfect place, nice. The ocean, wait a minute, water in, no, it has currents. It works, it's legal. Pools with a water exit. Swimming pools, heated pools, jacuzzis. Excuse me, I'm throwing hints here. Work, they're legal. So the Sea of Galilee is okay, but the Dead Sea's not. You get it? Good. Now, that's a good picture that we give in Israel on how this works. Great picture. Yeshua took his disciples to at the source of the Jordan River, Caesarea Philippi. Comes out of Mount Hermon. The source, this big rock formation. He does this great teaching. And this is the life of the country, the Jordan River. And it flows south. You can drink that water. There's trout in the water. It's neat. It comes to the Sea of Galilee where we were staying for 4 days. Beautiful. Yeshua walked in the water. That's great. You can drink that water. Same water keeps on flowing. To the Dead Sea, the lowest point under the earth's surface. If you drink that, you'll die. The Dead Sea. Same water. What happened? Great picture. Yeshua was teaching his disciples. I impart to you truth. He gave them the Great Commission. Okay? Go into all the world and make disciples of him, of Yeshua. We take knowledge in, we're to give knowledge out. If we take it in and don't give it out, we stagnate and we die. And we become worthless. We have to be involved in outreach. That picture is great because the same water turns dead if it doesn't go anywhere. Water in, water out. What about when we come to faith in Yeshua? Now, we've had a number of people in the last 6 months in this congregation, young people as well, come to faith in Yeshua. By the way, Jerry, I'll need CDs of this for all the teens, of the teaching today for all of them, because some of them are going to be going into the mikvah. So remember, when is it appropriate? Well, a spiritual awakening. Being born again is a really good one. How's that? A change in direction, a change in perspective. Impure to pure, unclean to clean. A public acknowledgement of the cleansing he has done inside of me. 1 John 1:7 says, it's the blood of Yeshua HaMashiach that cleanses us from all sin. When that becomes personalized in you, that's appropriate to go to the mikveh. Again, what age? When they can understand that. and articulate it. And the best definitions I've ever heard of that have come from kids. Have come from kids. You must have an understanding of what it means to receive Yeshua and accept his atonement. And then an understanding that you have opened your heart, your life to him, invited him in. It's a personalized faith. It's not about the facts that you can pass the quiz on was John the Baptist the pastor of first? No. No. He is in me. I am in him. It's a personalized relationship. That's not facts. It's a relationship. But once you've established that personalized relationship, you have come to faith in him, you're supposed to go into the mikveh. The book of Acts, first thing they did, into the mikveh. Acts chapter 2. These are Jewish guys. Remember, how many times have they been in the mikveh so far today, right? They all 3,000 come to faith. What do? Go back in the mikveh again. Change the status, change the direction, change everything. But you know, anything was right there. Okay, you who did not take my class in Acts, no guilt implied, but you can still get it. How long did it take to baptize, to immerse 3,000 people on the Temple Mount? 15 minutes. 15 minutes. The excavations of the number of mikvahot on the southern steps, 15 minutes. We think, oh, the lines must have been terribly long. 15 minutes. Pretty cool. I mean, you think, it's a Jewish thing. They would have just said, okay, let's go, we're going to the mikvah. My life's just been transformed. This is what I do. It was a way of life. They understood that. A personalized faith. But it has to be your faith, not your parents'. Well, why are you messianic? Well, my parents are. No, I don't want to hear that one. Nope. It's me. It's my faith. This is what I believe. This is who I have received. I asked. I opened the door. He came in. Personalized. Not the facts. Personalized. It's a picture, an illustration of what he has done for you. What he has done for you. And what you have done. Did you ask him in? Did you open your heart? I've never heard a testimony, never, of someone who did that and opened their heart honestly and asked him to come in. And then they come back to me later and said, you know what, he never came in. I've never heard it. Well, I hear the miraculous stories of all the changes in people's lives. I once was blind, but now I see. I used to live on the street. And, oh, what I'm saying is I hear the other side, where it's really true. Now, in my life, I just so wish I had this dramatic story. I could write books and make movies. But mine's the most boring and dull coming to faith of anybody around. No lights or whistles or buttons or sounds or anything. And I started looking for change in my life. And nothing much is happening. I'm like, God, what about these guys giving testimony on darkness to light? One year. I'm still hanging in there. Later, all of a sudden I realize, oh, that's where I was. Way back there. I'd come all that way because it was like a gentle process, okay, with me. And nothing even worth writing about in a book. But it's real. It's real. And like I mentioned before, the only regret I have is that I didn't do it sooner. I was 17. I could have had a couple more good years there in high school and sharing my faith. Only regret. But he did. When I asked, he came in. He came in. So believers are immersed. This is where I step on toes maybe at the end. Believers are immersed in the name of Yeshua. Now think about that. That's a Jewish concept. What does that mean? When you get some of these terms down, the rest of the Brit Hadashah will make a whole lot more sense. It's very, very Jewish. It was a common term in Yeshua's time, in the name of somebody. That means simply this, under their authority. I'm under the authority of, okay, you can say Rabbi Shammai, Rabbi Hillel, Rabbi Gamaliel, and in the name of them. And that's what they did. That's what they did. He said, we do this in Yeshua's name. In Yeshua's name, under the authority of, or, you know, the question is, by what authority do you do these things? Do you remember the Pharisees asking the disciples that question? By what authority do you do those things? Why do you follow that rabbi? He's only 30. What does he know? What school did he go to? None. Where's he from? Nazareth. Why do you follow him? Why don't you follow our rabbi? He's an expert in all these things. He went to both schools, Shemaiah and Hillel, and that was in Gamaliel school. Okay, I'm just making that up, but sounds good. And can you imagine Andrew saying, well, I follow Yeshua because he walks on the water, and he stops the storm, and he feeds 5,000 people a little boy's lunch, and he heals a man of leprosy, and he raises the dead. Does your rabbi do that? Gotcha, huh? Gotcha. They couldn't say to Andrew, yeah, but you aren't, I don't care, learned it or not, I'm following him. He raises the dead. Can your rabbi do that? By what authority? It's in his name we do these things. We are immersed in his name. In his name. It also means you identify. Remember that first part? You identify with him. And you submit to his authority. By what authority? His authority. So question, who's your authority? Who's your authority? Who do you follow? Who do you submit to? Think about it, okay? Where is your spiritual authority? Who's your teacher? What are you learning? Who is your rabbi? Now, he's my rabbi, and he should be our chief rabbi, the Messiah. He is our rabbi. He is our teacher. Remember the verses we read earlier when they came to John the Baptist? Are you Elijah? I look like Elijah, okay? We both wore tartan suits. No, I'm not Elijah. Are you the prophet? They kept asking him, are you the prophet? They would ask Yeshua, are you the prophet? Who are they talking about? Moses talked about this in Deuteronomy. God will raise up a prophet like me unto you. Him you will follow. They all knew that was the Messiah. So the question, are you the prophet? Are you the prophet? Who's your rabbi? He is our chief rabbi. He fulfilled that prophecy. We submit to him. He is our authority. What authority are you submitting to and why? I say that because somebody might ask you that question. I want you to be able to articulate that honestly. Honestly. Now, let me leave a couple of things here. Food for thought. What did Yeshua say about his authority? What did he say about his authority? He said, all authority, where? In heaven and on earth. Where else is there? All authority has been given unto me. Well, he has all authority. Why would you put yourself under somebody else's authority who knows less? Why would you do that? Who knows less? Who can't do what he does? And he told them what to do. It's a bunch of Jewish guys. Every one of those guys is Jewish. I'm sending you to Gentiles to teach them all I've taught you. By the way, I want you to immerse them. So he said. That's what he said. Now, he said something else there. This is just for fun, okay? If I were to ask you this question, when I pray and I close my prayer in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, does that bother you or offend you? Don't respond, because I know if I have a raise of hands, some would. To those people, I want to say, you best take a look at what my chief rabbi said to do. He's the one who said to pray like that. If we say we're messianic and you are offended by my praying the way he directed me to pray, there's a problem somewhere. Oh, it sounds churchy. I am doing what he said. In a couple of weeks, we'll show you that picture at his immersion. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Right there at his immersion, as well as the voice. But just think about that before you criticize someone on their praying too churchy. Are they following the instructions according to what the Messiah, our chief rabbi, who's Jewish, said? Think about it. So coming soon to an auditorium near you, this one will be this. We answer these questions. Who was John the Baptist? What did he do? Why was Yeshua immersed? Why is the Messiah immersed? We're going to answer that one. Okay. What did Yeshua teach about immersion himself? What does Paul teach about immersion in his letters and in the book of Acts? And what about the immersion of Gentiles? When you immerse a Gentile, does that make him a Jew? The answer is?
No.
Glad you got that one. If you're Jewish, and oh, God forbid this one, oh man, I'm sorry, and you in time past were baptized in a Christian church, did that wash away your Judaism?
No.
That's the right answer. Some people think that's what it does. No, it doesn't. That's not it. That's not it. Anyway, see, it's kind of fun, huh? Because we need to give an account to both sides, to the church world who misses all this wonder that's been around for 3,000 years. And the Jewish side, which when they figure out what we're doing, they go, you're doing it the right way. We just don't think he is the Messiah. But if I thought he was the Messiah, I would do that, just like you do it, in fact. Give an accurate account. Do what he said, do what he taught. So, pray that I find my notes for next week. Please. Because, here's one more little point, maybe why they're missing. Remember our lessons on spiritual warfare a couple of years ago? My teaching is about the occult and Halloween and the practices that are forbidden in Scripture. And that folder's missing, okay? That's the one. Gee, any spiritual warfare going on? So pray. Thank you. Let's all stand. Now, we want you to continue to pray.